Hi there, and welcome to episode 59 of Prague Talk, a podcast from Radio Prague International. My name is Ian Willoughby. Our guest this time is photographer Libuša Jarcoviakova, who documented her own turbulent life and minorities such as homosexuals and Romanies in the final decades of communism in Czechoslovakia. Some of her best-known works come from an underground gay and lesbian bar in Prague called the Tea Club. In those years, Jarcoviakova had no real hope of showing her often raw black-and-white photos publicly. However, eventually she did find acclaim, including through a major 2019 exhibition in France's Arles that really made her name internationally. So this is Prague Talk with my guest, Libuša Jarcoviakova. Well, my first question is, if you could tell us something, please, about your background. I understand there were artists in your family.
Actually, my grandfather's artist, painter in Brno, and both my parents were painter. And the family was funny because they were very, very unpractical. So we were getting really by when I was young, but it was very inspiring. They were mostly interested only in art, not in the normal things. Ordinary life was something aside. It was nice, actually. It was 50s and I was pretty young. And when I was older, it was already 60s, which was a really very beautiful time with all movies and literature and so on. And then I studied art school, and this is the beginning.
And what about photography? When did you first get into photography in any kind of serious way?
13, 14. I started to visit some photo club for young people. You know, I was growing up with the art, but my father was pretty dominant, so there were no way to be painter or do some graphic art or something like this. And the photography was only a way how to be visual by the own way somehow. So I started to study graphic school in Prague, and then started troubles because when I wanted to go to FAMU, and it was not possible from some political reason, and then I started to live somehow pretty complicated life, working in factory and so on. But at that time already the camera was something like part of me. Where I was, I photographed.
You did go to FAMU after, I don't know, like three or four attempts to get in.
Yes, yes.
You are known for a kind of raw style of photography. How did studying at FAMU actually influence your work?
Not much. I was 25. I lived a really kind of wild life, nightlife. And I have almost no connection to my schoolmates at that time. I was older a little bit. For me, it was very important to finish the school. And what was really very important was the bibliothèque, which was there. It was also the first time I met great photographers like Richard Avedon, Robert Frank, Dan Arbus. And there were a lot of people, they were important for me. But I was a pretty bad student. My all work was somehow delayed, and I was not taken as a talented person at the time. So it was important for me to finish it because I wanted to show myself that I am able to finish something. But it was not normal studying in the sense as usually is.
You documented your own life in your photography, including in the early 70s, you took a picture of yourself and your boyfriend after losing your virginity. Also, you took a photo in the 70s after having an abortion. That seems like quite an unusual approach. What led you to document your own life in this way?
Frankly, I don't know. It was somehow very intuitive. Somehow, it was like navigation through my own life. I always got some distance when I took photography about myself, this distance helped me a little bit more understand what's happened and what's behind this. And it was no possibility to show the photos to anybody, so I knew, and it was always like this, it's more or less private stuff. I wrote also always, I had some diaries from early childhood, and maybe the navigation is the right word for it.
You also photographed minorities, including lesbians and gays, then, I guess, quite new, Vietnamese community in this country, Romanies, the world of late night bars. What was the attraction for you of people who were outside the kind of mainstream of Czechoslovak society?
You know, this is the part of my character that I am pretty much adventurous, and it was no possibility to travel at the time, and I was looking for something special and something complex. So being in Romani families, for example, it was absolutely other world, and I was really happy to be there, and partly because of my empathy, partly because of somehow I have an open door at that time, and I was able to make friendship with the people, like, and for example, with the Vietnamese, I was teacher of them, teaching Czech language, and the classroom was near their accommodation, so we were pretty much together, and I have had possibility to come to their own private rooms and to spend with them private time and leisure time, and it was very, very important and also interesting for me, not only visual. I was always interested in otherness somehow, and coming to this gay club, it was really like a paradise for me, because it was so vivid, so colorful and very, very friendly. Being the part of this society and having possibility to make pictures there, it was really so... I don't know if it's enough to speak about it was nice, but I like it very much.
And I don't know what the situation was like for homosexuals in Czechoslovakia in the 80s, for example. Was there a certain freedom in these bars? Were they publicly known to be gay and lesbian bars?
The most people, they came there, they had coming out behind them. The most of them, they were absolutely clear with their identity. And I have to say, it was really free there. It was something like an island. It was kind of family life somehow. It was really friendly. Anyway, there were sometimes the people, they came from, they started with this, or they were interested in it, in this culture, let's say. And when I started to photograph, and I started it when I was asked to make some documentation for the people, personal photos, I use always the flashlight, because I wanted to be seen. I wanted that everybody knows I am taking photos. I needed to have some agreement from the people. That was also the reason I hated these photos a long time, because I have it always feeling it's like a theatrical somehow. But with the time, it was okay, and I am very happy I did it.
And did the STB, the secret police, take any interest in this scene or this world?
Probably yes, but they were not... simply to recognize. I am sure the staff collaborated with them, or they were somehow in, they have had some agreement on something like this, but it was not seen. It was like, you know, there is something which is probably we are observed or something like this, but I have never ever fear or something like the feeling of discomfort. Anyway, with the time, I was already sure I have to change my life. I have to go out, because it was somehow like a circle, always the same. So I wanted to go abroad. My decision was West Berlin at that time. And the only way was the marriage with somebody. It's happened. And at the end, or before I did it, I have had one bad experience that the secret police wanted to see my negatives from one party, one of my last parties in Tea Club. And they have had pretty serious reason, because somebody was...
I was reading about this, some regular at the club was murdered and the police were investigating the killing.
Yeah, exactly. And they wanted to see the people, they were present last evening, and I knew it's okay, it's important from one side, on the other hand, that is not clear, this is not clean, you have some doubt. Somehow was it everything in the same moment, I was already on my way abroad, and I stopped to do this work, because I felt much stronger the risk of this work.
If we can jump forward in time quite a lot, you started to become well known, or to become known, I guess, in the 90s and 2000s. You had some exhibitions. You also had a book that came out 5 or 6 years ago called Cherne Roky, or Black Years. Is that how you look back on that period of your life, as black years?
Yes and no. The life is always divided for many, many parts. I lived a lot of colorful parts and also black or dark parts. When I'm thinking about this right now, I think it's a little bit too pessimistic, because I lived a pretty free and independent life during these all years. On the other hand, I struggled a lot with many personal issues. I had a lot of depressions and maybe gray years. It should be known, gray years, probably.
When you started to become known in the 1990s and the 2000s, you have a collection of like 20,000 photos or something. How were they selected, or how did it happen that they began to be seen by people?
It was step by step, and a long, long time. I think I was not very readable. It was somehow too raw. Maybe the visual language was a little bit, let's say, strange. And also it was not the pure documentary photography, not artistic photography. It was somehow in the middle. So it took time before I got my fans, before I could show more complex work, more stuff I have done. And with the time, and mostly by the young people or younger people, I started to be, maybe it's too strong, but sometimes I feel I'm, for special kind of people, I'm like an icon. Which is a little bit strange, but I can understand the people why they like my work, because it's, I think it's free and independent, and somehow it's about life. But it took time. It was not from one day to another.
And were some of these fans or supporters who helped you, they were your students?
Yes, exactly. It was the beginning. They brought me the first opportunities to exhibit, and it was really like step by step to do some better and better opportunities.
I guess maybe the high point of your career so far was a few years ago when you had an exhibition in France, in Arles, at this famous festival of photography. In your mid-60s, how has it felt to achieve this kind of recognition later in life?
Miracle on one side, a big surprise for myself. You know, this exhibition was very special, because I got to the fantastic space, the Church of St. Anna in Arles. And what is important, festival in Arles has, and at that year has had, really big public. This exhibition saw, I think, around 140,000 people. And this is pretty much to feel it has some impact. It was pretty much like a dream, but on the other hand, somehow it was logically, because my work came at the time that the director of festival was on search to find somebody from Central Europe, woman, older woman, around 65 I was probably, and also this authentic material which show the topic of this exhibition was Czechoslovakia from 70s to 89. And it was not known that there were such a spaces like tea club, gay clubs and such a things. So the topic was interesting. The photos has had some good, let's say, quality, or there were a lot of vintage, which means the photos made by original photos from 80s, 70s. And the important role has my curator, Lucie Černá, who did this installation. So the exhibition was interesting. And somehow I felt, okay, that's happened, I'm happy. It's very strange, but that's life.
And I was speaking there to photographer Libuša Jartsov-Jakova. This has been episode 59 of Prague Talk, so there are, of course, many more editions where this one came from. If you're new to the podcast, why not check out some earlier editions and, of course, sign up wherever you get your podcasts. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening to Prague Talk, and talk to you again very soon.